Although Swayam Bhagavan, the supreme original personality of Godhead, who had appeared within this world did so primarily in the role of his own devotee to teach us by his example how to please him. Atha pumbir vijastreshtas varnashrama vibhagasha shvanustatasya dharmasya samsadir haridosha. Whatever our occupation, whatever our varna or our ashram, in every aspect of life, from a spiritual perspective, our success is only to the extent that we please Krishna. Krishna's bhava grahi janardana. He is pleased by our love, by the sincerity of our devotion. Anyabilasita sunyam jnanakana anukulyena krishna shilangam bhakti uttama. Rupa Goswami tells us in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that true devotional service or bhakti is not mixed by any desire for material gain. Mystical yogic powers, or even liberation from suffering. It is service rendered in a very positive way for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Love is not on our own terms. True love is according to the terms of the object of our love. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papi bil mokshayi samimasucha. To abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender to Krishna. To put oneself completely in the loving presence of Krishna. To depend wholly on the mercy of Krishna. That is what Sharanagati or surrender means. In a material sense, surrender means defeat. But in a spiritual sense, surrender is the ultimate victory. It's the victory of truth over illusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a role of a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada explains why. Krishna instructed us in Bhagavad Gita the science of how to surrender, how to attain the ultimate perfection of this human form of life. But then came again as Lord Chaitanya to show us by his own practical example how to do so. We cannot imitate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he is Bhagavan. But we follow in the footsteps of what he has given us and those great acharyas who have so perfectly exemplified these principles. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu He's not just playing the role of a devotee. Radha Bhavaduti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He is the supreme ultimate of all devotees. The Tadini Shakti. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Tadini Shaktir Asman. That the Absolute Truth is one, Advaita. But that one absolute truth eternally has two aspects. The Ashray Vigraha and the Vishay Vigraha. The supreme object of love and the supreme abode of love. Krishna is the supreme object of everyone's love. He is all attractive. He is Rasa Bihari. And Sri Radharani, Krishna himself, extended as pleasure potency eternally, is the supreme reservoir of all love. And that love is so powerful, so sweet, that Krishna, who is the knower of everything, Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjana bhavashani chabutani mam tu vedana kashta. Krishna explains his omnipotent, omnipresent nature. He knows everything that has ever happened in the past. He knows all that's going to happen in the future, and he knows all that is happening at the present. Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishta matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. He is seated in the heart of every living being. Of all living entities, in all of existence, this earth planet is just a tiny speck within the cosmic manifestation, which has innumerable universes. And we see how crowded Puri is during Rath Yatra. With humans. How many billions of people are on this earth? How many insects, animals, reptiles, fish in the ocean? It's inconceivable. Recently, I had a mask and I looked underwater in the Caribbean Sea, and just it appeared like there were tens and thousands of fish within one little area. How many fish are in all the oceans of the world? And how many little bacterias It is inconceivable how many living entities, how many jivas are in all of existence. And in the whole cosmic manifestation, as the Paramatma, Krishna knows every desire, every action, every word or sound that anyone has ever made, and never forgets. He's not taking notes. He doesn't depend on tape recorders or computer, what do they call it, storage for information. Krishna knows everything. Scientists with their big, big brains are trying to understand what's happening. What to speak of understanding the universe, all the planets and all that's happening in these planets. It's inconceivable to the greatest minds, all that is happening within a single atomic particle. They can only reference what might be happening because of the symptoms that they may see. Achintya. Yet Krishna knows everything. God is great and never forgets, unless by his own sweet will he wants to forget. That is the Yogamaya internal potency of the Lord, which only expands the horizons of our appreciation of God's greatness. Srila Prabhupada explains, if God could do anything, he could also forget if he likes. But that forgetfulness is not due to ignorance, like our forgetfulness. That forgetfulness is simply for the purpose of increasing the sweetness of the loving exchanges with his devotees. When Krishna is crying before Mother Yashoda, he's stealing the butter, standing on the wooden grinding mortar, and Yashoda Mai is following his little buttery footprints with a stick to try to find him. And he's feeding monkeys, and the monkeys, they see Yashoda coming and they start running and jumping into the trees. And that was their warning. Krishna, your mother's coming. And Krishna turned around and saw her, and he ran away. This was the meditation of Queen Kunti in her prayers, that you are feared by fear personified. Krishna tells in Gita, I am time. And within the realm of time, I am the personification of death. Who does not fear that within the embodied state? But yet he's afraid of Yashoda Mai. And is he just pretending? He's so overwhelmed by the Vatsalya Bhav, the motherly love of Yashoda Mai, that love of Yashoda makes he, Bhakti Vatsal, in his reciprocation, that love covers the awareness of his ultimate supremacy. Now, while this is happening, he's still Mahavishnu. He's still Narayan. He's still Narasingha Dev in Vaikuntha. It's not that all these expansions of himself are ceasing to exist at that moment. But to taste the sweetness of his devotee's love, and to facilitate the depth of the love of his devotee to experience that attraction for him. That is his ultimate greatness. So Krishna, who is all-knowing, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, even he wants to understand the nature of Sri Radha's love. When he sees a reflection of himself in a jeweled pillar, he becomes incredibly attracted. Everything that attracts anyone in this entire existence, the only reason it is attractive, it is because it is either a manifestation or a minute reflection of a manifestation of Krishna's energy. When devotees were awe-inspired by an incredible sunset, Srila Prabhupada smiled and said, if you are appreciating the art, you should see the artist. This is an infinitesimal manifestation of a reflection of Krishna's beauty. And Krishna seeing his own beauty is thinking, the only person who could really appreciate this beauty in that fullness is Srimati Radharani. What is the ecstasy that she feels when she tastes the sweetness of my love? So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who is seeking to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. At the same time, when he becomes a sannyasi, he's strictly following regulative principles, playing the role of a devotee that we can relate to, of what we're supposed to be. We cannot be like Srimati Radharani. We can aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radha as the ultimate aspiration of all of our goals in life. And when we hear about the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and we hear about the histories of the great acharyas of the sampradaya, it should totally humble us. It should make us feel so utterly unqualified. And in that state, we could actually cry for mercy. And it is that cry for mercy that is our only actual qualification. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri, as we explained yesterday, he came alone, because Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda and he wanted to show, as a sannyasi, I have principles to follow. He would chant on his mala every day. We read later on in the Leelas of the Gambira, where sometimes Jagadananda Pandit would bring nice bed for the Lord to sleep on. But he would, no, I will sleep on the floor. He would bring him fragrant oils to massage his body, because that's what you do with Krishna. He said, offer the oils to Jagannath. Very simple. So in his own extraordinary way, he wanted to teach us on this day that Krishna is not different than the deity form of the Lord. Daru Brahma, Sri Jagannath Dev is Krishna in this magnificent wooden form. This evening we will discuss some of the topics of how he manifested his form in this way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he entered the temple and he saw the beauty of Jagannath standing upon his singhasan, was so intoxicated with spiritual love. He had an eagerness, an unlimited uprising of enthusiasm from the love of his heart to embrace Lord Jagannath. He was running. And as he was coming closer and closer, the expectation of this sambhog, this union with the Lord, after feeling the anticipation of separation, was growing, growing, growing like a volcanic eruption. And ultimately, his mahabhav, his ecstasy, came to such an extreme level that he fell to the ground unconscious. There wasn't any symptom of life in his body. The guards of the temple thought he was simply creating a disturbance, and they approached him with their sticks to actually just pick him up and throw him outside. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Mahapandit of the whole kingdom, happened to be standing before Jagannath at that moment. And he saw this young sannyasi laying on the floor. He witnessed what had just happened. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very mysteriously attracted to the beauty of this young sannyasi. And when he tested Lord Chaitanya to see if he was conscious, he couldn't find any consciousness. He placed a little cotton swab before the Lord's nose and saw the finest fiber slightly moving. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such a great scholar of scripture, he understood that this is the highest symptom of divine ecstasies of love for Krishna. He told the guards, bring him to my home. According to the Shastras, he was offering various types of rituals to bring the Lord back to external consciousness. But there was no effect. Meanwhile, coming from behind, Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dat, Jagadananda, and Damodar Pandits, they approached the Singhadwaram, the main gate of Sri Jagannath's temple. At that time, they happened to meet Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he used to live in Navadvip. So he was very close friends with Mukunda Dutt. When they saw each other, they were very happy. And immediately Gopinath Acharya asked Mukunda Dutt, all about Lord Chaitanya. Mukunda Das said, actually, I was just thinking about you. Will I meet you here? And now I'm seeing you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recently taken sannyas. And by the will of his mother, he's going to make his residence in Puri. And he brought us with him to Puri. He came ahead of us. And we've been hearing from the local people that a sannyasi fell unconscious in ecstasy upon seeing Jagannath and has been brought to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That is our Lord. Gopinathacharya brought them to Sarvabhauma's home. When they saw Lord Chaitanya in that condition, they were simultaneously ecstatically happy to see him, but their hearts were very agitated to see him in that condition. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very cultured man. He welcomed them. And then sent his own son, Chandaneshwar, to bring them for the darshan of Jagannath. And told him, after that you come back. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was standing before Sri Jagannath Dev, in his ecstatic love, he began to faint and all the devotees caught him. When they returned to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was still executing all these rituals and all these formulas to bring Lord Chaitanya back to consciousness. But the devotees knew the only way. They performed very loud kirtan close to the Lord's ears in a resounding, tumultuous way. They chanted the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
For a long time they chanted. And just before noontime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he opened his eyes. And he sat up and cried out, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very happy. Everyone was very happy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya inquired about Lord Chaitanya. He was so beautiful and he was so young. And he had such humble and devotional qualities. When he found out from Lord Chaitanya, he asked Gopinathacharya about him. Gopinathacharya said that he is the son of Jagannath Mishra. Upon hearing that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very happy. He said, my father, Maheshwar Visharada, was a classmate of Nilambar Chakravarti, who was the father-in-law of Jagannath Mishra. And my father had great respect for both of them. He said, what type of sannyasi is he? He's coming from Navadvip. I have much respect for him. Gopinathacharya explained that he was given the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya from Keshav Bharati. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Bharati is a second class ranking of sannyasi. I will perform the ritualistic ceremonies and award him the cloth of a first class sannyasi. By this time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had sent his devotees to bring Lord Chaitanya to the sea to take a bath. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya that from now on, whenever you go into the temple, you should go with me or my men. And Lord Chaitanya said, from now on, I will always stand beside the Garuda Stamba. He humbled himself in respect to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's concern. Meanwhile, Gopinathacharya told Sarvabhauma, he doesn't need to be elevated by you. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, what are you saying, Supreme Personality of God? If they had a very intimate but very intense argument. He said, according to the Shastras, the Lord is Triyuga. That means he appears in three ages. Where is the referent according to Shastra? We are not sentimentalists here, that the Lord appears in the age of Kali. Gopinathacharya told, don't you know what the Shastra says? As far as his Leela avatars, he does not appear in the age of Kali. But as a Yuga avatar, he appears in every age. He quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Garga Muni, when he was performing the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram in the cowshed of Nanda Maharaj, he said, your son appears in every age. He has appeared in a white complexion, a red complexion, and a yellow golden complexion. And now he has appeared in this dark, blackish complexion. Krishna Vardam Krishakrishnam Sankopanga Shaparashadam Yagyai Sankirtanaprayar Yajantehi Sumedas. He quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam that in the age of Kali, those who have good intelligence, they will worship the Supreme Lord, who is not in a blackish complexion. According to Garga Muni, he has a yellow-golden complexion. And he will be accompanied by his associates, his divine energies, and he will be worshipped by the congregational chanting of the holy names. He quoted references from Mahabharata. Gopinathacharya said, but because you, Sarvabhauma, are in such an illusion, you cannot understand this. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by logic, reasoning, or even intellectual study of scripture. One can understand the essence of what the scripture is saying only by the grace of the Lord. And because you have not been touched by a drop of grace of the Lord, you are in such illusion. The Lord is standing right in your house, but you do not recognize him. You are like a very, very dry, hard piece of land, and the seed of knowledge cannot take root. And because of this, you are making so much offense due to your illusion. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya smiled. He said, "My dear brother, we're just having a friendly discussion. Don't become so angry with me." Anyway, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought Lord Chaitanya back to his house and fed him wonderful prasad. When Gopinathacharya and Mukunda told Lord Chaitanya about what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was saying, Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you arguing with him? He loves me like a father. He wants to protect me. I appreciate him." When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, with great humility, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually was honored by Sarvabhauma. He said, "Namo Narayan." And Lord Chaitanya replied, "Krishne Matir Astu." Sarvabhauma said, "My obeisances to Lord Narayan." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "May you become a devotee of Krishna." So Sarvabhauma understood that he's a Vaishnava sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya, with great humility, responded to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's parental affection. Sarvabhauma said, "You're so young and you're so beautiful. You're only 24 years old. Unless you understand very carefully Vedanta philosophy, how will you maintain the status of your ashram?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "You are my well-wisher. You are like my father. You are a great scholar of Vedanta." Lord Chaitanya said to him, "You have saved me from a great difficulty in the temple. Therefore, I am seeking refuge of you. You are my guru. Please instruct me." This is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the heart and gained the affection of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They came into the temple of Lord Jagannath, and Sarvabhauma gave Lord Chaitanya an elevated seat and he sat below him. But Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Please instruct me on Vedanta. You are my guru." For 7 days, all day, every day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained the Vedanta Sutra. And Lord Gauranga sat silently. He didn't say a single word. On the 8th day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked, "I do not know if you understand what I said or not because you're so silent. Please tell me, what is your understanding?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm a fool. I don't understand all these things." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Well, if you don't understand my explanations, why didn't you say something?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I understand Vedanta Sutra." The meanings are very clear, like the midday sun. "But I don't understand your explanations because they are like dark clouds that completely obscure the real meaning. No one had ever spoken to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya like that. Let us go into some background of who Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was. His father, Visharada, had two sons, Madhusudan Vachaspati and Vasudev Sarvabhauma. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was from Navadvip. And at Vidyanagar in Sri Navadvip Dham, he established the greatest school of learning. And Navadvip was the greatest place of learning for the entire of the world. There was only one shortcoming in Navadvip. That of the six systems of philosophy, Nyaya, the only authorized comprehensive book was in Mithila. And the teacher who had that book, he was the authority. Nobody could give that comprehensive, complete education unless you went to Mithila. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a young man, he went to Mithila and he studied under that teacher. But his intellect was so profound that just by hearing from that shastra, he perfectly memorized every word of it. Now, when he came back to Navadvip and was teaching that along with all the other different siddhantas and philosophies, he made Navadvip the ultimate place of learning for the world. He was so great, and his followers had such power of intellect and mastery over scriptures that the king of Puri invited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to be the scholar, the pandit, the guru of the scripture for the whole kingdom. And at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left Navadvip to come there. And because of the power of his learning and the culture of his character and the endorsement of the king, great sannyasis, great pundits from all directions were coming to sit at his feet and learn from him. And here was this young sannyasi telling him that everything he said was an illusion. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Well, what is your understanding of Vedanta?" And Lord Chaitanya explained that the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is Brahmiti, Paramatmiti, Bhagavan iti shabdate. The Lord has his all-pervading impersonal aspect. The Lord is seated within the heart of every living being. But ultimately, the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists, is Krishna, the personality, who's all attractive. He said, "Sarvabhauma, all you know is the all-pervading, impersonal aspect of the Lord. That is insufficient. Prema cannot grow through that realization. Prema is the ultimate goal of life and can only be achieved through the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." with Shastric evidence. He taught Sarvabhauma how the Lord his body is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He explained that the Lord has three primary energies. His Chit Shakti, his spiritual energy, which is the manifestation of the entire spiritual world. His Jiva Shakti, Mamaivamso Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana, the living entity who are all his eternal infinitesimal parts and parcels. And the Maya Shakti, or Bahiranga Shakti, which is the external energy, the energy of illusion. And how the Jiva, he explained from the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu, that there are eight material energies: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ahankar, ego. Aparaya mitashvana, jiva bhuta. But beyond that is the jiva, the spiritual energy, the part of Krishna. Like a sun ray is to the sun planet, the jiva is to Krishna. Satchit Ananda, but eternally subordinate. Krishna is the supreme master of all that exists, and the jiva is forever a servant. Jivera swarupoi Krishnara nitya das. And the jiva is eternally subordinate either to the spiritual energy or the material energy by his own free will. And when the jiva comes by its own free will under the subjugation of material energy, the jiva forgets its own nature and identifies through the ego with all of these materialistic designations. The Gita tells us, Daivi Yeshu Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mame Bamya Papadyante Mayam Etatarantite. This material energy consisting of three modes of nature is very difficult to overcome. Krishna calls it his divine energy. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. Bhakti is the process of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by the grace, by the mercy of the Lord, who is all-powerful, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, who is the controller of all material existence, he can lift us beyond the modes of material nature and restore our original true quality. He explained that Chit Shakti has three features. The Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord, Ananda Shakti, Sandini, the energy that sustains all the existence of the spiritual world, and the Samvit Shakti, that energy which sustains and is the source of all cognition and knowledge of our relationships with the Lord. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya explained, all the Vedas are simply explaining three principles: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. How to reestablish our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. How to engage in devotional service, which is our eternal relationship with the Lord. And through the process, understanding prayojana, or the dormant love that is within the heart. And through that love, entering into the Lord's eternal pastimes or lila in this spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited the Atmarama verse, which tells how even self-satisfied, liberated souls are attracted to devotional service of the all-attractive Supreme Lord, the Personality of God. Sarvabhauma wanted to hear a deeper explanation of this. Lord Chaitanya said, "You tell me your understanding of Atmarama verse." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained it in 9 different ways. What a brilliant personality. Lord Chaitanya listened carefully. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Now what is your explanation?" Lord Chaitanya explained it in 18 different ways, without even touching any of the things that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said. And he gave an example, Shukadeva Goswami and the 4 Kumaras. They were totally liberated Brahmavadis. They had realized the all-pervading impersonal Brahman. They were liberated from all suffering, from all ignorance. Perfectly situated on that mukti state. But when they heard the glories of Krishna, when they tasted the sweetness of Krishna's prasad, they accepted the path of pure devotional service and surrendered their hearts and their lives as the eternal servants of the all-attractive, all-beautiful Lord, Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then explained why Shankaracharya explained Vedanta the way he did, by quoting from various scriptures, how he was sent by the Supreme Lord personally to cover the true meaning of the scriptures for his own divine purposes, for the Lord's divine purposes. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard all of these things, he came to the conclusion that everything you say is the highest, deepest revelation of the scripture. No one could explain in this way except Krishna himself. That I could understand today, yes, the ultimate revelation is that God is a person, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses all 6 opulences in full, and you are that Krishna. At that moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pleased with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the Jagannath temple, manifested his forearm form of Narayan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, with tears pouring from his eyes and folded palms, looked upon the form of Narayan. And then that Narayan form transformed into Shamsundar. Krishna, standing in his threefold bending forms with complexion the hue of a monsoon rain cloud, with beautiful, beautiful blackish hairs like silk cascading around his moon-like face, his beautiful lotus-like eyes, his nose like a sesame flower, and beautiful splendid red lips like the bimba fruit, and upon his lips was his flute. He saw the tribhanga form of Krishna with the Kastubamani on his chest, with Lakshmi residing as a golden hair, with the Vajayanti Mala of forest flowers from Sri Braj Bhumi extending below his knees. Seeing this form of Govinda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted. Then he came to consciousness and was weeping and weeping and laughing and rolling on the ground. His hairs were standing on end. His skin was erupting with ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to dance. As he was crying and dancing in the ecstasy of prema bhakti, Gopinathacharya, Mukunda Dutt, and the others, looking upon, became very happy. Gopinathacharya said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "It is only by your mercy that this dry, hard-hearted, speculator has now become completely overflooded with prema bhakti." And Lord Chaitanya is so humble. He said, "No, it's because you're such a great devotee that Lord Jagannath has given him special mercy." The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the early morning, actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya arranged for Lord Chaitanya to stay at his maternal aunt's house. It was a very solitary place. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in such a spirit of servitude, made every possible arrangement for Lord Chaitanya's comforts. This was even before his transformation. You see, Sarvabhauma, Lord Chaitanya, he attracted Sarvabhauma to have affection for him and to render service for him. Then his heart was actually receptive to receive Lord Chaitanya's full mercy. The next morning, very early, Lord Chaitanya went to the Mangal Arati of Jagannath and had the priests give him Jagannath's prasad of a garland and Mahaprasad of foodstuffs. Lord Chaitanya wrapped it up in a cloth and went right to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. He was standing outside Sarvabhauma's door. And it was just before sunrise. And Sarvabhauma woke up. And the first thing he said was, "Krishna, Krishna." Lord Chaitanya was listening. He was very happy. He has understood Krishna's name. And then Sarvabhauma realized that Lord Chaitanya was standing at his door, and he got up and bowed down and welcomed Lord Chaitanya in and gave him a seat and sat next to him. Lord Chaitanya gave him Jagannath's prasad. Immediately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his obeisances to the prasad. He chanted two verses from the scriptures, that the Mahaprasad of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so sacred. It is beyond material calculation. And one must honor it with all affection, even if it comes from a distant place, even if it's somewhat stale or dry. One should not hesitate to honor it. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya honored the prasad. Lord Chaitanya was very, very impressed by this, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very, very highly placed Brahmin. and the principles of a Brahman is, before you touch any food to your mouth, you have to wash your mouth out, you have to take your bath, you have to do your rituals. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when the Lord asked him, why are you doing this? He said, because Mahaprasad is the mercy of Krishna and it is beyond all regulative principles. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so happy. He said, today I have conquered the entire universe. Today I have attained the spiritual world. Today all the very purpose of my descending into this material existence has been fulfilled because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has appreciated the glory of Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad. Mahaprabhu embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya embraced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They wept tears on each other and danced together while chanting the holy names. On another day, Sarvabhauma approached Lord Chaitanya and said, of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is most important? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Kirtanam, the chanting of the holy names. And then Lord Chaitanya described the verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatirangyata. That in this age of Kali, there is no other way except the chanting of the holy names to achieve this ultimate realization of Krishna Prema. There are no hard and fast rules for this chanting of the holy names. He went into great depths of the glories of kirtan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, at the time of realizing Lord Chaitanya's supremacy, he composed 100 verses immediately glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of God. And on another day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent some Mahaprasad with Jagadananda Pandit, and with it, on a palm leaf, he wrote 2 verses in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Jagadananda Pandit was about to bring it into Lord Chaitanya's room, Mukunda Dutt snatched the palm leaf and copied the content of those verses onto the wall outside Lord Chaitanya's room. Then he gave it back to Jagadananda. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the prasad, he read the verses and immediately ripped it into shreds and threw it away. Jagadananda Damodar Pandit, they immediately came outside to read what it said on the wall. Lord Chaitanya intimately revealed his supreme divinity as Krishna to his most confidential associates. But in general, if anyone called him God, in the role of a devotee to set an example to the world, he would block his ears and cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, save me. The living being is eternally the servant of Krishna. He would not allow people to glorify him like this. So he ripped up that palm leaf. But when they read outside this beautiful verse, Vairagya Vidya Nidji Bhakti Yoga, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who has descended into this world to teach us renunciation from those things which are impediments for pure devotional service. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowledge of the living entity's eternal relationship with the Lord, and bhakti, the process by which we could realize the treasure of the heart. Prema. And these verses remain forever great, great glorifications of the true identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the essence of the very purpose of why he came to this world. One day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said to him that there is a particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that I have revised. Tute nukampam susamikshamano. This verse spoken by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto of the Bhagavat explains that when a devotee, even going through great sufferings, passing through obstacles in life, sees it all as the compassion of the Lord, and in that state offers obeisances to the Lord and surrenders his or her heart to the Lord, that person, liberation is rightful claim. Mukti pade sadayava. Sarvabhauma changed it to bhakti pade. Lord Chaitanya said, why did you change it? He said, my whole life was aspiring for mukti. But after getting your mercy, the sound of the word mukti disgusts me. The only purpose and goal that I aspire for is bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but Krishna's name is Muktipad, because he delivers one from all the sufferings of material existence, and the highest mukti is bhakti. So there's no need to change the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Leave them as they are and understand them according to how I am explaining them. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, yes, I accept what you're saying, but still I don't like it. I won't change it, but I don't like it. This is to the extent Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tasted the sweetness of love of God by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here in Puri, we all have the opportunity to visit the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the place where this great personality resides, and the place where these beautiful pastimes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were manifested. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house is just close to the bank of the Sweta Ganga, which also has a beautiful history. In the Treta Yuga, there was a king named Sweta. And in the mood of Maharaj Indrajumana of the Satya Yuga, he would offer the best of everything in his kingdom in the loving service of Lord Jagannath. But because he was such a loving devotee, Jagannath allowed him to actually witness how the demigods were coming to make offerings to Jagannath. Now, as a devotee, instead of being proud and saying, just see, I am so great, I see the demigods coming, he was humbled. He was thinking that the devas are making such beautiful offerings and my offerings are totally insignificant in comparison. Because he was so humbled and felt so insignificant in the presence of such great persons, Lord Jagannath was even more pleased with him. And he allowed Swetas to see how the Murti of Lakshmi was making the most loving offerings to the Lord. And by Jagannath's arrangement, the form of Sweta Madhava was installed near this tank, which was later called the Sweta Ganga. Now, the history of this place is very connected to one very great Vaishnavi. Her name was Ganga Mata Goswamini. She was a princess, the daughter, an only child of a Naresh Narayan, who was the zamindar, which in those days was a wealthy landowner who acted like a small king who could make laws and rule over an entire province. It was in the province of Rajasahi, which is today in Bangladesh, and she lived in the kingdom of Puntia. She had such natural, spontaneous devotion to Krishna. She gave her heart to Krishna from her earliest childhood. And when she started growing older, her parents wanted to arrange for her marriage, but she had no interest in giving her heart to anyone but Krishna. She was an extraordinary soul, and they could not force her. So they were in distress. And as the years went by, her parents passed away, and she became the queen of Puntia. And she ruled very fairly because she saw everything was Krishna's property, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, and everyone was Krishna's child. So she ruled as the servant of the Lord and the servant of all living beings. And eventually, she assigned some of her ministers to take control over the kingdom, and she came on pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. After being blessed by Lord Jagannath, she walked all the way to Vrindavan. And there had the darshan of Sri Govinda, the deity of Sri Rupa Goswami. At that time, the pujari of Govindaji, his name was Haridas Pandit. He had such transcendental qualities. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes about him in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was so gentle, very forgiving and tolerant. He respected and loved everyone. And how he worshipped Krishna with such devotion. Madhbhakta Pujabhyadika, a perfect pujari, is one who sees Krishna within the heart of every living being and honors and worships Krishna in everyone's heart. Then only does the deity on the altar actually find deep pleasure in our offerings. He was a very ocean of divine Vaishnava qualities. He was a disciple of Ananta Acharya, who was a direct disciple of Gadadhar Pandit from the Tota Gopinath temple here in Puri. These devotees, they were adoshadarshi. They were never concerned with seeing the faults in anyone. They saw everyone as a part and parcel of Krishna and would never hear criticism. Haridas Pandit, he was immersed. How is it that he would never have any inclination to speak or hear the criticism of anyone? Param drisvani vartate, because he was experiencing the higher taste of constantly describing from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur the glories of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. And the people of Vrindavan, they would love to gather around Haridas Pandit to hear the transcendental narrations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings. Sachi Devi, the princess of Puntia, she became very deeply attached to the grace of Haridas Pandit. And she requested initiation from him. But he was a renunciate. And she was extremely wealthy. How can I give initiation to you? But she was willing to give up everything for the mercy of the Lord. And in order to show her sincerity, she gave away all of her nice dresses, all of her jewelry, all of her wealth, everything. And just put on a simple white cloth. And for her sustenance, she did madukari. She became a beggar. Seeing the genuine sincerity of Sachi Devi, Haridas Pandit sent her to live at Radha Kund with another one of his disciples, who happened to be Sachi Devi's aunt. Her name was Lakshmi Priya. And there together, they perfectly lived in pure devotion and renunciation. They chanted minimum 200,000 names of Krishna every single day. They were constantly immersed in speaking the glories of Krishna with each other, serving the Vaishnavas, doing parikrama of Sri Giriraj. Haridas Pandit was pleased and gave her initiation. But then he sent her away from Radha Kund and sent her away from Vrindavan. He wanted her to do seva. He said in Jagannath Puri, that holy place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is in ruins. Since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed from this world, and since Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya passed from this world, Haridas Pandit said, I have heard news that that holy place is crumbling and neglected. You should go to Puri. Restore the sanctity and the glory of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And remain there, rendering service to Lord Jagannath and the devotees. Sachi Devi, she understood service to the Guru is the ultimate connection to Krishna. She left Radhakund in Govardhan, she left Vrindavan, and she came all the way back here to Puri. And when she saw the dilapidated condition of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, it created much distress in her heart. But by this time, she had given away all of her wealth. She had nothing to help with. But from Haridas Pandit, and from Lakshmi Priya, she had learned the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So she would sit on the bank of Sweta Ganga and speak Bhagavat Katha. And she spoke with such devotion because it was purely in the spirit of the understanding of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. The king, his name was Mukundev, he would come every day to hear the Bhagavad Katha of Sachi Devi. And he was so happy that he actually donated a piece of land right on the bank of Sweta Ganga to Sachi Devi. Now she was a renunciate who left her home and everything. But Lord Chaitanya taught this principle of Yukta Vairagya, that which could be used in Krishna's service should not be rejected. So she understood that in order to repair Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, I could have this land, I could speak the Bhagavat, and whatever contributions people make, I could renovate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and his Shalagram Shila can get once again very wonderful worship. So this is how she spent her days. One day, all of her friends from Puri told her that they were going to Bengal because there was a holy day, the day of bathing in Mother Ganga. It's called the Ganga Varuni Snan. So they all left, but she had taken a vow to never leave Puri, because that's the place her guru gave her to take care of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house and his Shalagram Shila. So they all left. At midnight, on the very time of this auspicious moment to bathe in the Ganga, Lord Jagannath appeared to Sachi Devi and told her, you should go in Sweta Ganga and take your bath. She got up from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, came out the door, and when she entered into Sweta Ganga, she saw Gangamai, the goddess presiding over the river Ganges, personally appear to her. Now, who is this Gangamai? Just like there is an Atma, a soul that presides and gives life to this entire body, the river Ganges is like the transcendental body, but the very soul, the very living force of the river Ganges is Gangamai. Similar with Yamunamai. She is the divine consciousness, a Shakti of Srimati Radharani, an expansion, who descends into this world to give grace, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the power of Mother Ganges, or Ganga Devi's mercy. Lord Chaitanya every day would go to bathe in the Ganga. He told the world that anyone who sees the river Ganga, anyone who is touched by the breeze coming from the river Ganga, anyone who tastes the water of the Ganga, anyone who bathes in the Ganga, will eventually attain Krishna prema. That is Ganga Mai's grace. Sachi Devi saw Ganga Mai herself personified. And she realized from underneath the ground, Ganga Mai was so ecstatic to bless Sachi Devi that Sweta Ganga became manifested non-different from Ganga Mai. And she started flooding so much that the Sweta Ganga became a current, flooded over, and Sachi Devi was floating on it. And it went right into Jagannath's temple and flooded Jagannath's temple and brought Sachi Devi right to the lotus feet of Jagannath. How is this possible? The temple was locked closed at that time. And not only that, but all the people in Bengal who were bathing in the Ganga, they somehow or other manifested there. And there was so much noise and so many people and the roar of Ganga flowing. The guards outside the gate at the Singhadwaram, they heard this roaring river inside, and they heard all these people inside, and they ran to the king and said, somebody's in that temple. So the king came there and he had the guards open the doors. When they came inside, Mother Ganga was gone. All the Bengali people were gone. The only thing that remained was Sachi sitting right at the feet of Lord Jagannath. Wow! They were thinking, how is this? How did you get in the temple? The gates were locked. Their idea was she broke into the temple to steal the property of Jagannath. They arrested her and put her in prison and were quite abusive to her, thinking her to be a thief. She didn't say anything to defend herself because she understood this was Jagannath's inconceivable pastime. The next night, Jagannath appeared to the king and told the whole story and said, you have made a great aparad to Sachi Devi. I brought her into my temple and you are punishing her as a thief? The only way that you can atone for this aparad is you must surrender to her, accept her as your guru, and take initiation. When the king told the priests of the temple the story, they all approached Sachi Devi and begged her to be their guru. And she initiated the king. And from that day on, her name became Gangamata Goswamini. And every day she would speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And the king and the priests of the temple and so many people of Puri would come to hear her glorify Krishna and the path of pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. Glorify Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his eternal associates, who forever reside in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. The king wanted to offer her dakshina, and she didn't want anything. But she said, for the people who come, you can offer me two containers of Jagannath Prasad every day, and a little bit of money for the service of the Shalagram Shila of Sarvabhauma. And as far as I understand, even today, the Jagannath Temple sends this special prasad to the ashram of Gangamata Goswamini, the residence of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, on the banks of the holy Sveta Ganga. We will continue this evening at 5 o'clock. Thank you very much.